because there was no LCD or LED display. It was hysterical. It's like they get hot. That's our hot rollers.
And we forget. It's very easy to forget what it was like back in the day, because you pick up new tech. At least I pick up new technology really easily. Like, you know, I will admit this on the radio. I downloaded Pokemon Go. Like, you know, I like technology. There are people that don't.
Yeah.
But when you look at it as pressure rather than opportunity, it can be very difficult.
Yeah. Well, we are at the top of the hour, so you are actually staying with us for the next hour, correct?
Yes.
So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to do the news, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about your book, Forensic Psychiatry, A Lawyer's Guide. So it's going to be a much different conversation with our amazing guest, Dr. Vivian. Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Kelly Sloan.
We are 119 days away from a great victory in the United States of America when Indiana becomes the first state on the board to make Donald Trump the 45th president of the United States of America.
Indiana Governor Mike Pence speaking at a Donald Trump rally yesterday. Today, the likely Republican presidential nominee is visiting Pence at his home, which is fueling speculation Trump is close to naming Pence as his running mate. There are other reports that former House Speaker Newt Gingrich and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie are still in the running. The funerals for three of the five officers killed in last week's police ambush in Dallas are taking place today. An interfaith memorial service was held yesterday where President Obama spoke about Black Lives Matter. Hillary Clinton is calling for a period of healing. She spoke today on the campaign trail in Springfield, Illinois. This is USA Radio News.
Tales of American Political History with Clinton Porter Hackney.
James Henry Jim Lane served as U.S. Senator from Kansas during the Civil War and was also a Union general. Senator Lane was reelected in 1865, but committed suicide the following year, leaving a vacancy. Mr. Edmund Ross had been raised in Ohio, but his newspaper business led him to Topeka, Kansas. Ross became politically active in the Republican Party there, and when Senator Lane killed himself, Ross was appointed to take the Senate seat and was later elected. Senator Edmund Ross would likely have become a fairly obscure politician had it not been for one dramatic, controversial moment in American history. In February of 1868, the United States House of Representatives impeached a sitting president for the first time. Senator Ross would be among the senators who would decide whether to convict the president and remove him from office. Join us again for more about Ross. This is Clinton Porter Hackney at cphackney.com.
Theresa May is becoming the Prime Minister of Britain. David Cameron resigned after the Brexit vote last month. He addressed Parliament today for the last time and made a formal goodbye.
It has been the greatest honour of my life to serve our country as Prime Minister over these last 6 years. And to serve as leader of my party for almost 11 years.
May will be the first woman to take the office since Margaret Thatcher in the 80s. Donald Trump is pulling ahead of Hillary Clinton in a couple of swing states. Today's Quinnipiac poll shows Clinton lost an 8-point lead to the likely Republican nominee in a head-to-head matchup in Florida. Trump now leads 42-39% in the Sunshine State after trailing last month. In Ohio, the two are tied at 41, while Trump also has flipped the script in Pennsylvania. He leads 43-41 after trailing by 1 point in June. When third-party candidates are added to the mix, Trump's lead in all three states widens. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Six Flags of America in Largo, Maryland is closed due to a bomb threat. Prince George's County Fire and EMS spokesman Mark Brady says it was received around 10 a.m. today, local time.
Security searched the park and found at least one package that appears to be suspicious and out of place. Out of an overabundance of precaution, the bomb squad has been called in to investigate the contents of that package.
Brady says the initial suspicious package has been cleared as non-explosive, but a second package is being looked into. The amusement park says they are working with authorities and will remain closed to guests and employees until further notice. NASA's Juno space probe is sending back its first picture of Jupiter. It includes three images of its moons and the big red spot. The probe is now moving away from Jupiter. A Canadian singing group is suspending one of its members for saying all lives matter while singing the Canadian national anthem at the All-Star Game in San Diego last night. During the performance, singer Remigio Piera added the phrase all lives matter to the lyrics of O Canada. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is under fire for calling on Donald Trump to step down, calling him a faker. He responded by calling on Ginsburg to resign, saying she has lost her mind. Texas Congressman Ted Poe is fighting leukemia. He announced today he will be getting treatment in Houston and is hoping for a full recovery. This is USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. For more news, we're on the web at usaradio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hello, hello, everyone. This is Kim Pramatic, and I am filling in for Jeannie Murphy and Colleen Kelly, who host Talented People. We have a very special guest here today, Dr. Vivian Chern-Schneidman. She's an expert in the application of psychiatry to legal matters. She's known for her appearances as an expert on TV and has provided expert testimony in over 50 published court cases. She's a medical doctor board certified in psychiatry and forensic psychiatry. In addition to her forensic work, she maintains a boutique clinical practice. Her publications include Forensic Psychiatry, A Lawyer's Guide, and two prior works of fiction, Loosening of Associations and Homicidal Intent by Random House, as well as several contributions to periodicals. Dr. Schneidman is a graduate of the Sackler School of Medicine and Bryn Mawr College. So welcome to Talented People, Dr. Vivian.
Thank you so much.
So thrilled to have you here today. We actually talked in the last hour about kids and dealing with this, everything that's going on in the world today and the fear and the terror and everything that's going on and how to best support our families, how to talk to our kids. And we talked about that in the last hour. So folks can look at the archives for that. And for this hour, we're going to talk more about the forensic side of it. What is forensic psychiatry? You know, what do you do? All those kind of things. And also about your book, Forensic Psychiatry, A Lawyer's Guide, which I'm just really looking forward to it based on our last hour together. So thank you for joining us. And are you ready to get started?
I am totally ready.
Okay, great. So probably if most people are like I am, they're not going to know exactly what is forensic psychiatry. So can you begin and share that with us?
Yes, I would love to. So forensic psychiatry is the application of psychiatry to legal matters. Could be any application of psychiatry to any sort of legal matter. So it could be a case
where you need a psychiatric opinion in a divorce. It could be a case when somebody does a really outrageous thing that gets on the news and you want a psychiatrist to give an opinion about whether or not that person was crazy and how that would impact the ultimate outcome of the case. It could be something small. As I said, in the last hour, if you want special services for your child in the school and there's a legal right to that special service and you want to have that special service and the school isn't budging, then you can ask for a forensic evaluation and then bring that to the school and say, look, this is what my psychiatrist says. This is what I need. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's everything in between. I do a lot of work in the public sector. I do a lot of evaluations on both sides for the division of Child Protection and Permanency, which used to be the Division of Youth and Family Services, which everybody calls DIFAS. Mm-hmm. I think they changed their name for their image. And I give my opinion to the court on what kind of services this particular mother or father or child would require in order to reunify this family, or whether or not reunification can even occur. Mm. So there's a whole bunch of different types of cases. There is, I have a little niche of doing evaluations on people who are already dead, which is
really
sometimes called the psychological autopsy or the psychiatric autopsy.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. I just gave a talk on it in Venice. I was just at a conference in Venice.
Italy.
Yeah.
Nice. Ciao.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I call that talk the dead man talking. Mm. But the idea is that if somebody dies, in the most common one of these cases is if somebody writes a will and then they die. And then the people that are left money or not left money are not happy with how the money was given out. Mm-hmm. So they start to fight with each other. Mm-hmm. And then you need a psychiatrist to figure out what was the person thinking when they wrote the will. Do they have the capacity to write it? Do they have the knowledge? And it goes under the specific laws of the state where they wrote the will. And then you have to figure out what was going on in their mind at that time.
Wow.
So it's kind of cool, depending on the particular case. And then sometimes there's more complicated cases. I've done cases where I actually had the estate of one dead guy suing the estate of the other dead guy, which, you know, it was actually very tragic, but it sounds interesting.
Wow.
It was tragic. I was just looking now for the ebook. That's what I'm doing right now. I wanted to hand it to you, but I just can't find it.
Wow.
I wanted to show you what it looks like.
That's fascinating. Who knew all these things?
So there's a lot of really interesting cases. I had a case a couple weeks ago where somebody had been psychiatrically hospitalized for less than 24 hours because he had called a suicide hotline and somehow he ended up, the police came to his house, they brought him to the hospital, they said he was not really suicidal, he was discharged. And then he had a gun permit. He didn't even have a gun. He just had a permit.
Oh, boy.
And then when he went to change the address on his gun permit, one of the questions was, have you ever been psychiatrically hospitalized? Now, he could have lied because there's no magical computer in the sky that cross-references all these things. Mm-hmm. But he's like, oh, my God, I was in the hospital for 13 hours or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I better not lie. So he contacted his attorney and I did an evaluation to show that he really was mentally fit, not even to own a gun, to own a piece of paper entitling him to purchase a gun, which he didn't even have any intention of purchasing.
Wow.
You know, so some of these cases are very interesting. I've done immigration evaluations. For example, there are laws. You know, immigration is a hot topic right now, right?
Because yes.
Donald Trump wants to get rid of all the illegal immigrants.
Yes.
Well, it's not so easy. So let's say you come here illegally and then you make yourself legal and you work hard and you get a social security number and you pay your taxes. There are a lot of people that do this. Mm-hmm. And then you have a child. And let's say that by the grace of God, something bad happens to your child. Like your child has Down syndrome or some rare disease and your child is born in America and your child needs to be here to get their treatment for whatever it is. There are laws that say that if deporting the parents or removing the parents, that's the terminology that that is used now, would cause severe, unusual harm to the United States citizen, then the parents get to stay.
Hmm.
So each one of these cases has to be considered individually.
Wow. That's a lot of cases.
It's a lot of cases, right. I mean, not every immigration attorney understands this exactly, and not every case, this doesn't apply to every single case. But I've done a lot of these cases, and some of them are really heartbreaking. Like, I've seen some cases, you know, I've seen kids who were sexually assaulted in the holding centers where they cross the border themselves.
Oh, boy.
You know, some of these things I can't even talk about.
Yeah.
It's too upsetting to me to talk about them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you hear a lot of stuff on TV and on the news, but until you sit down with the actual people and hear what they've been through, you know, one of the things I heard this one woman say to me, and I kind of laugh at it because it sounds so funny, but at the same time, when you think about it, it's horrible. They were removed with her U.S. citizen child, and this was a few years ago that I did this case, and they were removed back to their village in Guatemala. And what happens is often if you've been in the United States, they think you have a lot of money. So they came and tried to kidnap her son, who was a child. He was like 4 or 5 years old. And they took her child from her, her American citizen. The child was an American citizen. He was born here. And, she says to me, fortunately, in my village, everybody has a gun or at least a machete. So everybody in the village went after the kidnappers and they got the kid back.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine this child? So when then they came back. She said, I'm not staying here. And she came back. She risked it the second time after she was removed the first time, after they were removed. She came back with this kid.
Wow.
She said, I'm not putting my kid through this again.
And, wow.
And the kid was, I mean, completely traumatized. He was 9 when I evaluated him. I'm like, how would I send this kid back to Guatemala?
Wow. You know, I think you said something so important, which is, you know, we can look at topics that are very, you know, abstract or high level. And then there you are in the trenches. Like, here's what's actually going on. I think it's a much different perspective.
You know, it's a person.
Yeah.
It's a person. Maybe his parents did the wrong thing to come to the United States illegally. But it wasn't his fault. He's a child.
Yeah. Wow. So you do all kinds of cases.
Yeah.
That's a lot of different kind of cases.
All kinds of cases.
That's great.
I've had cases. So we're going to talk about my book now.
Yeah, let's talk about your book.
I want people to buy my book. I want people to read my book. I want to tell you why I wrote this book.
Okay.
So first of all, I'm never going to get rich from people reading this book, even though it is expensive, because the publisher, which is Elsevier, which is actually the largest scientific publisher in the world, published this book under their imprint, Academic Press. But I'm never going to get rich from it. So the reason I'm asking you to buy it and read it is because I want you to learn about what I have to say. I worked very hard on this, and it's a very unique book because it talks about concepts in psychiatry. It doesn't specifically talk about landmark cases or how you would use psychiatric issues in different types of legal cases. There are a ton of books about that. Those are specialized. They're for lawyers. Lawyers know how to look up cases and how to structure their legal arguments. And I don't need to write another book about that. There's plenty of those.
Mm-hmm.
What I wanted to teach the lawyers, and also to teach everybody really, is how to understand psychiatry. And the reason is that, I forget what the expression is. If it looks like a this, and it smells like a this, and
it looks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck,
and it swims like a duck, it's probably a duck, right? If the person looks crazy and acts crazy and talks crazy, they're probably crazy. And I don't mean crazy in any kind of an offensive way.
Not a glib way. Just descriptive. Yes.
It's just descriptive. So, you know, we're talking up earlier about bad things happening in the world. And you have this big lobby of the anti-gun people versus the NRA. I don't want to talk about that because that's not what we're here to talk about. It is true that it's easy to get a gun. Then you have the people, the mental illness people. And it seems to be this big fight versus mental illness versus the gun people. But the reality is that if you have a mental illness, you're not going to go out and kill somebody unless you have, you know, and then you have this other group of the hatred and the bigots and the people that have all these, you know, this is actually what I meant to say. I misspoke. You have the people that talk about how easy it is to get a gun. Then you have the people that talk about the hatred and the racial profiling and the ISIS and white privilege and all of these, you know, Black Lives Matter and all of these social issues, mm-hmm. and blame all of violence on those things. And then you have the missing link, which is mental illness.
Mm.
And it's very hard for people to understand how those two things are actually linked.
Mm.
But they are linked by the fact that you have mentally ill people that incorporate both the gun culture and this all of these popular culture issues into their delusional system and then act on it.
Oh.
And it's not, you know, there are even psychiatrists who don't understand that.
Hmm.
That people just don't understand that things that you're exposed to in the world become, if you have a problem with your brain, you can incorporate all of these things from the popular culture into your delusional system, and then you act on it. And yes, the availability of guns makes it easy to act on it. But the availability of guns also becomes part of the delusional system because we see these things over and over. So now mass shootings have become part of the toolbox of being a violent psycho. I mean, I don't know what other word to use. It's not a nice word. It's not a polite word.
Mm-hmm.
Most mentally ill people never become violent, but those who have a propensity for violence and those who are extremely paranoid and who have incorporated these specific issues into their delusional system become more and more likely to act out because it's become such a part of what they're exposed to every day.
Wow. I never heard it put that way.
Did it make sense to
you? Yes, it really did. Yeah. I'm just kind of absorbing it. Yeah.
So that's why I want people to read my book, because I want people to understand that there's always an interplay between nature and nurture. There's always that biological thing and that environmental thing, and it works for everybody. It's, you don't have to be really mentally ill. Everybody's had that day when they were more angry than usual, more mm-hmm. irritable than usual, when they said something they shouldn't have said. They couldn't just watch their, you know, bite their tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Because of something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take that to a really extreme degree, you can understand what's going on in the minds of some of these people.
Hmm.
And we need to be able to, without stigma, identify the people who have a propensity towards paranoia, towards mental illness. We need to train all doctors, including these family doctors who are the initial gatekeepers, to ask the right questions, to identify people who are budding paranoids and treat them. We need to find safe environments in which they can be treated to make it not punitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the civil rights people say, oh, it's taking away their civil rights to put them in a hospital. Well, is it taking away somebody's civil rights to put him in a hospital if he's having a heart attack? No. We're putting him in the hospital to save his life.
Mm.
So I don't understand where this is coming from. But I do. It's coming from the concept that mental illness is a bad thing, that somebody created it inside himself. Nobody creates their own mental illness. It just happens. It happens from a variety of reasons. But nobody chooses to be mentally ill.
Yeah.
Anybody who was given the choice would choose to be happy and yeah. healthy and productive and normal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. Especially, you know, the radio show that I host here, I'm filling in for Jeannie today, but the radio show that I host is called Raising Conscious Kids. And I don't know if you're familiar, but like the kind of the zeitgeist of some spiritual teachers and awarenesses stuff is we cause everything ourselves.
I've heard that.
Ugh, it's such a trap.
Yeah, I don't agree with it at all.
No.
I don't agree with that at all. I think that there, you know, we certainly have control over how we respond to things, but only some control.
Mm-hmm.
Only some control.
Mm-hmm.
We also don't have a lot of control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of what we do is, it's not 100% pre-programmed, but it's partially pre-programmed. We have our own internal biological environment. We have the environment in which we were raised. We have our learned responses to things. And a lot of that is just, it's so automatic.
Mm. Yeah.
It's so automatic. You know, yeah. I have a number of children on my caseload with Tourette's disorder.
Hmm.
Tourette's disorder, for people that are listening that think they know what it is. A lot of people think it is barking like a dog and screaming out curse words. That's not what Tourette's disorder is. The original Tourette's disorder, as described by Dr. Tourette's in the 1800s, was a triad of tics, obsessive compulsive disorder, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Oh, wow.
Today, in the DSM-5, Tourette's disorder is vocal tics, but that's not the original disorder. And what we see in clinical practice is still this triad. We see tics, they can be vocal or other tics. We see the ADD and we see the OCD. And it is extremely hard to treat. Now, at Rutgers University, which used to be UMDNJ, University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey, which is now Rutgers Medical School, where I'm on the voluntary faculty in New Brunswick, they have the Tourette's Disorders Clinic. And it is also the largest repository of Tourette's DNA in the world. So if you're listening and you have Tourette's or you think you have Tourette's, just go over there, please, because they can help you.
Wow.
But that's just my little public service announcement for the day.
Yeah.
But what I want to say about the Tourette's patients is that tics are voluntary. They don't happen involuntarily. They're physical, vocal, or body movements that the patients feel they need to do. They have a compulsion to repeat these movements.
Wow.
And a lot of times, the kids that have them can kind of control them during the day. But when they get home, like when they get home from school, they have to do them. It's painful for them not to do them.
Wow.
It's torture not to do them.
Wow.
So that's kind of a parallel for some of the things that we were just talking about. Like, things can be sort of voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for people to realize that not everything, we don't have 100% control over everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even sometimes when you want to sneeze, you can kind of hold it in if you're in a public place. Like, it's hard, but you can sometimes do it.
Good analogy. And sometimes you can't.
And sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
So it's just important to remember that people that do really crazy, outrageous things, they might know right from wrong and still not be able to prevent themselves from doing right from wrong. And they need us to intervene on their behalf. I don't really know another way to put it right now.
When we were talking a couple days ago, you know, pre-show, you said something interesting, and I was, this is all new to me, so I was, you know, just allowing it all in and grasping at it. But you said something about, you know, most people don't wake up one day and say, today I'm going to, you know, do this atrocity. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, I think that what happens is people have these delusional worlds that build up inside them. Mm-hmm. And they become increasingly paranoid, increasingly concerned with something. There's a lot of planning that goes into these things. And in fact, a lot of psychiatrists that are called upon to evaluate these cases mix up the idea of planning and insanity. They had the idea if planning is concerned, then they cannot be criminally insane, which are two separate things.
Wow.
'Cause you can plan. A lot of mentally ill people are very, very intelligent. But the fact is that they're living in sort of a parallel universe where their criminal acts make sense.
Really?
Yes. They are living in a world where their reality is different from the reality that we live in.
Wow.
Where their violence and their criminal act is really making some kind of sense to them. Where they're under some kind of attack, and it could be, you know, it could be anything. A lot of times these people don't survive to be questioned. I think it would be very interesting to be able to interview them. We'd learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people have been under psychiatric care at some point. And then what comes up on Facebook? Oh, psychotropic medications are responsible because all of these people have been on psychotropic meds at some point. You know, people don't understand that they've gotten some kind of minimal psychiatric treatment, but no long-term relationship with a psychiatrist. They haven't been honest. They haven't had enough time. The psychiatrists haven't been permitted to ask the right questions. But a lot of times it's that they haven't been forthcoming, and the way that psychiatric treatment is managed by managed care, there's no opportunity to build up a relationship. I had a patient who I worked with for a few years before she felt comfortable. This is in my book, this story. Before she felt comfortable telling me that she ever heard voices.
Wow.
A few years. And she was a suburban mom. I mean, she wasn't like a terrorist or a potential terrorist. And then it turned out that the voices that she heard were something called hypnagogic and hypnopompic hallucinations, which are voices as you fall asleep and wake up. And those are perfectly normal.
Wow.
But she was afraid to tell me.
Mm.
And I had like 15, 20 minutes to see her every time I saw her, every 3 months, because that's what her insurance would pay for.
Wow.
So how was I ever going to know? I asked her, and I at least asked her, because there are plenty of doctors who say, how's the medication? Good. Okay, see you in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I at least asked her, and I documented it every time,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of people don't even bother to do.
Hmm.
But she was afraid to tell me because she was afraid that I would put her in the hospital and throw away the key.
Wow.
If she talked to me about that. And she was terrified, and she was miserable.
Wow.
And you know what happened after we had this discussion when she finally told me? She got happy. She got a job.
Hmm.
She lost weight. She colored her hair. She turned into a totally different person.
Wow.
You know, it's like, you have to give people the opportunity to form a connection with the doctor. Why would they tell you this stuff?
Wow. So do you think, what was your sense of how did she turn the corner? What exactly was it about her telling you that?
I'm not really sure, but I guess after she saw me for the 10th time or whatever. Now, if you're seeing somebody every week for an hour, that 10th time comes really fast.
Yeah.
That 10th 15 minutes comes, you know, in the third appointment.
Do you think it was that she shared that with you or that you validated that, you know, it's called this and that and it's perfectly okay?
Well, but I wasn't able to tell her that until she told me.
Right.
I think it just came from after spending a certain amount of time with me and feeling, you know, getting up her courage, she was able to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I was able to see her every hour for a week,
mm-hmm.
that would have happened right at the beginning. We would have conquered that.
Mm.
But we couldn't do that.
Yeah. And that was quite a transformation then.
Yeah.
Just that small detail
yeah.
of her life.
And it totally turned her life around.
Wow.
Totally. And it took 2 years.
Wow.
And it could have taken 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So tell us more about your book and the name of it, where folks can get it. Tell us more.
The name of it is Forensic Psychiatry, A Lawyer's Guide.
Mm-hmm.
It is available online. You can get it on Amazon or from your favorite online retailer
mm-hmm.
or from the publisher, which is Elsevier. You can get it from their website.
Mm-hmm. And that's E-L-S-E-V-I-E-R, Elsevier.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
If you read it and you like it, please give me a good review.
Yes.
It is also available as an ebook, but I don't think there's much of a discount, so you may as well get the real written book. And it is very accessible. Like, you can read it. You know, my parents read it. Like, everybody's, you know, people's parents are reading it. Mm. People's friends are reading it. My friends have read it. It's not difficult. It's not a heavily scientific book. And it's, as I said, it's really written for the purpose for people to understand psychiatry in easy words.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a hard book for other psychiatrists to read. It's not meant to take the place of other books that are already available. It's really unique.
Mm-hmm.
It's for people to be able to pick up and read and understand what is psychiatry, what does a forensic psychiatrist do, how can you tell if somebody is mentally ill, how do you know if you have to call a psychiatrist in your legal case, what does it feel like to use a psychiatrist in your legal case. And I think that everybody could learn a lot about psychiatry by reading it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've learned a lot today in talking with you. In particular, you know, you were talking about, you were called to give testimony about, you know, post-mortem. Like, that could save somebody, when you're talking about a contested will situation or something like that, that could save a lot of money and time and energy and resources. I mean, amazing things that I had no idea that the field of psychiatry covered, let alone forensic psychiatry.
You would be amazed at what people who ostensibly love each other will do to each other when a family member dies. I was amazed.
Yeah.
These people just come out of the woodwork and are at each other's throats fighting over money. And you'd also be amazed how much money people can save up in their lifetime from really sort of simple jobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's that compound interest.
Yeah.
My dad lived to be 94, so, yeah, we were surprised. Yeah. And the other thing I'm just going to put in because of my own family experiences, make sure you have a will. I don't care how old you are, make sure you have a will and that, you know, everybody knows where it is and where when to get it when the time comes, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because then you could avoid a lot of problems and heartache and all those things that can happen at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we are at the half hour point, a little bit longer. So we're going to take a quick break. This is our final break, and we're going to be back for our final segment with Dr. Vivian Schneidman, MD. She's a forensic psychiatrist. She's an author. We're talking about her book, Forensic Psychiatry, A Lawyer's Guide, and just things in general, just a lot of great information, and delighted that you made the trip to the station today, Dr. Vivian.
Thanks so much.
We'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hello, hello. This is Kim Pramatic here filling in for Jeannie Murphy and Colleen Kelly at Talented People, and my radio show is Raising Conscious Kids, so you can look me up as well here at the Hunterdon Chamber radio station, and my website is raisingconsciouskids.com. And today, like I said, I'm filling in at Talented People, and our guest today is Dr. Vivian Schneidman, and we're talking about forensic psychiatry, we're talking about immigration, we're talking about wills, we're talking about her new book, Forensic Psychiatry, A Lawyer's Guide. So, Dr. Vivian, in our final segment here, there are a couple different things we could talk about. I like to talk about what's most jazzying, that's my word, jazzying you. What's jazzying you at now? There are a lot of things we could talk about. I have a sense that you and I could talk for hours. So what do you think would be, what do you want to tell people about the book or just things in general? Where do you want to go in our last segment here?
I would like to go wherever you want to go. I think my mic is not on.
Oh, nope, it's on. Do you have your ear set? Yes.
Yeah.
Now you're so used to it. Oh, you know what? Let's tell people how to get in touch with you.
Okay. They can call my office. My number is 609-910-1715. They can go to my website, which is jerseyforensicconsulting.com, or schneidman.com will take you there also. It's schneidman.com. And pretty easy to find.
Mm-hmm. JerseyForensicConsulting.com. That's a great name. Very descriptive. Good. So we were talking about the different things that you do, and I really want to get more into the book because this is fascinating to me. I've learned so much. So who would benefit from reading your book? Let's talk about specifically. Like, I'm thinking attorneys would, but so let's talk about how attorneys would benefit and how just like a regular a non-attorney or a layperson would benefit, someone like me.
I think that anybody would benefit from reading my book because they'll learn a lot about psychiatry. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, I think that psychiatry is way too overlooked because you can't live without a brain.
Mm-hmm.
People need to understand how the brain works and what is acceptable behavior, what is not acceptable, what If somebody presents with behavior that is out of the ordinary, it probably is. Mm. And if that occurs in a legal setting, then there's probably some legal argument to go along with it. So if you're a lawyer and you have a client who looks odd and whose crime seems like it shouldn't have happened because the person was not operating, you know, kind of with a full deck, there's probably some legal argument you could make that would use that, but you need an expert to help you prove it. You can't just go up to the judge and say, hey, Your Honor, my client is not mentally well, and I want you to take these charges away. Now, I will tell you something interesting. When I was researching the book, I found that in some countries, especially in Scandinavia, if the judge thinks that the defendant is mentally ill, he'll tell the attorneys, hey, guys, this guy is not mentally stable. Go figure this out. I'm not having a trial here.
Wow.
You know, that hasn't happened yet in this country. Our legal system assumes that everybody is fine, everybody is mentally stable, and everybody makes a choice whether or not to obey the law.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, most people who break the law, in my opinion, are not doing it on purpose. There's something that's happening to their behavior that is influenced by something that's a little off in their brain. Now, where does that fall into mental illness? I don't know. Every case is different.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why you need an expert.
Yes.
Because if it falls on the side of real insanity, then there's probably a law that will help you to get something else other than a guilty plea.
Mm.
Or guilty conviction. And why is that important? for a few reasons. One is maybe we put too many people in jail instead of putting them in mental hospitals, because we know that the prisons and the jails are the largest repositories of the mentally ill in this country. So that's really important. We need to provide treatment instead of incarceration. Mm-hmm. And maybe that could break some of the cycle of violence, some of the cycle of criminality that we see in our country. And maybe it would help with the stigma of mental illness. And maybe we would learn how to treat our children better and not get them mentally ill in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of places where learning about mental health and mental illness could help and could help to change our society. So start by reading my book. I think that could really help a lot of people.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it.
Thanks.
I love it. I'm looking forward to reading it. We talked a little bit about, I'm just guided to like circle back around the stigma of mental illness and the stigma of being, getting support and getting treatment and stuff. And so, you know, just want to bring that back around to somehow put it out there that it's okay. And, you know, it's not your fault. And you could speak to this more than I, but that's kind of what's on my heart right now to share with folks.
I think that, a lot of people will pay lip service to the idea that it's not their fault, mm-hmm. but in their hearts they feel like it is.
Yeah.
And I think that even a lot of doctors and therapists have this notion that maybe it is their fault. Maybe it is the fault of the person. Maybe they could just snap out of it.
Yeah, snap out of it.
You know, my mother, who is a physician, subscribes to the snap out of it theory of mental health.
Wow.
You know, she just thinks that you could decide one day that you're going to be fine.
Wow.
And, you know, there's a Jewish word, tsuris, which means troubles.
Hmm.
And when I was going to psychiatry, she said, if these people knew what real tsuris were, none of them would need a psychiatrist.
Wow.
Even the schizophrenics. I mean, I think maybe she didn't include the schizophrenics. She wasn't thinking about them. But there are a lot of people who believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And to change that is going to take more than, you know, me speaking on a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be legislation. I mean, there has to be parity. There has to be something that proves to people who have mental illness that their mental illness counts. Hmm. You know, mental illness lives matter.
Yeah.
That has to be a thing.
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Phew. This is some deep stuff.
It's deep, right? Maybe this we should talk about
stuff.
Something a little less deep. It's difficult,
it
you know?
Is difficult.
I have not a lot, but a few people that I treat who I know that all I'm trying to do is keep them alive.
Wow.
I'm just trying to keep them alive.
Wow.
And I don't know. I just feel like that's the right thing to do.
Mm.
And they suffer. They would suffer less if they weren't alive, but I feel like I have to keep them alive.
Yeah. Well, I think as we're talking about it and as people are considering it, you know, in my intelligence, in my, you know, rational mind knows that mental illness is not someone's fault. But you know, my dad was same ilk as your mom, you know, like kind of a snap out of it kind of guy. And I have a lot of my belief system from him. So while I know that you can't just snap out of it, I kind of feel like, yeah, just snap out of it. So I feel like as each of us is more open and more understanding and aware and compassionate, I think that can only help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. On the other hand, you also don't want to be too gentle with people. They have to understand that they have a responsibility to participate in their own treatment and their own recovery,
mm-hmm.
just like people with substance abuse problems have to participate in their own recovery. There's no magic wand. There's no magic pill.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get up in the morning and be present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there has to be a commitment to getting better,
mm-hmm.
which is something that I also see people that think that you can just kind of coddle a person back to health. And that's also not something that can happen.
No.
You know, if we want to go back for a second, maybe if this is too deep, and talk a little bit more about the forensic part of my practice.
Sure, yeah.
I wanted to talk about how this adversarial system works when you hire an expert.
Okay.
In Europe, they do it really nicely. There's one expert. The judge appoints an expert. You write your report for the judge, and the judge accepts the report of the expert.
Excellent.
In the United States, the adversarial system goes for everything. So each side hires his own expert.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be unfortunate because there's can be a lot of bias.
Mm-hmm.
And you also don't need special credentials to be an expert. Like, I'm board certified in forensic psychiatry. It's actually called added qualifications in forensic psychiatry. But if you're a psychiatrist, you can just call yourself a forensic psychiatrist if you want. And therefore, each side can look for an expert that's going to say what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And you often have a battle of the experts. And they can be saying completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
Different diagnoses, different recommendations, different opinions, different everything. And then it boils down to the judge or the jury believing different things about the case, often based on completely random things. Like, this is a true story. I know a very famous forensic psychiatrist who has done research on how far apart the pinstripes in the expert suit should be in order to be the most credible.
Wow.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I don't wear pinstripes, and I'm not a man, obviously, but well, maybe it's not obvious because it's not TV, but I'm a woman. I identify as a woman.
Right.
But that's not
that's
why,
another show.
Yeah. That's not why you pick your expert. In my opinion, you should pick your expert because they know something.
Yeah.
Not because they have the most expensive suit with the pinstripes at exactly the right distance. And I don't know what that distance is. I don't remember from that presentation. Like, I just thought that was ridiculous. You know? It's a problem. So in order to combat that problem, you know, I have a chapter in my book on how to question the expert so that you really can question the expert about what they know rather than how they present. If they have a really nice accent, you know, maybe if they have a British accent, you might believe them more. It doesn't mean that they know anything.
Mm-hmm.
It just means they have a British accent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to know how to question your expert. See how they answer the questions and try to find out what's really going on with the case when you're a lawyer who is using an expert in court. I was recently involved in a case where the attorney who hired me went through the whole case before she asked me what should she ask the other experts. And she was like, oh, I really should have asked you before I did that part of the case. Too late now.
Hmm.
Well, okay.
Hmm.
You know, I'm sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
She had no idea that she should have asked me first. And she let them say a whole bunch of nonsense and didn't know what to ask.
This is all complicated stuff. So that's why an attorney would hire you, correct?
Yes, that's why an attorney should hire me and then use me for the whole process, not just for my report.
I see what you're saying.
But for the whole process, for reading the other expert reports and helping him or her formulate questions and understand the case and understand the, you know, the legal theory using the expert from the other side, and then how to approach making their own legal theory using my report.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes an attorney will call me and say, I want to show blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, no, showing blah, blah, blah is not going to help.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look at the case and explain to you what really happened. And then we could show that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to kind of use my expertise for what it really is, not just make something up.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Oh, thank you.
Fascinating. Well, we have a lot of shows here at the Chamber, and some of them are hosted by attorneys, actually. So it'll be, we'll have to have Jeannie reach out and send them this show so that they can listen in and benefit from all your your advice and everything. That'll be great.
That would be great.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's just something, I think today more than ever, we're very targeted. You know, people are very, you know, you ask somebody what they do, it's so niche. You know, it's very targeted. And so, you know, we really dove deep today into psychiatry and forensic psychiatry and some stuff with families. And, you know, this is very deep and it's been very enlightening for me. And such a pleasure to have you on today.
It was a pleasure to be here. Yeah. But I have to tell you, I feel like we just scratched the surface.
I know. I know. Well, I would love to have you on Raising Conscious Kids Radio and talk about the things that are affecting kids today, because that would be a wonderful resource for people, because people are struggling. You know, it's not easy raising kids, and it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
I'm glad my kids are pretty big already.
Yeah. 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 Well, we have about 3 minutes left. So why don't you go ahead and share once again how folks can get in touch with you, the name of your book, where they can get it, and just one more thing that would be a benefit for them of why they would want to read it or hire you.
Oh, okay. So the book is Forensic Psychiatry, A Lawyer's Guide. My name is Vivian Chern Schneidman. That's Schneidman. You can reach me at schneidman.com or jerseyforensicconsulting.com. My office number is 609-910-1715. And I think you should read the book because it's a great read. It'll teach you a lot about psychiatry, a lot about forensic psychiatry, how lawyers use psychiatrists. If you're a lawyer, you can hire me. I'll help you to understand the psychiatric aspects of your case, and I'll help you win your case, and I'll help you win your case legitimately and for all the right reasons. And then you'll want to hire me again, mm-hmm. and we'll have a great working relationship. Mm-hmm. And it'll be fun. Because I'm a really fun person to work with.
I love that. That was our intention here for today, for the shows, right? Fun.
Yeah.
Did you have fun?
I did. I totally did.
Good. Me too. Well, thank you so much again. We are broadcasting live from high atop. This is our joke here in Flemington. We're on the second floor. High atop the CenturyLink building here in Flemington. And, you know, it's the 100 Chamber of Commerce. We're the only 24-hour internet radio station, business talk news in the country, or that we know of. So, yeah, we have all different kinds of topics, all different kinds of messages, speakers, experts. And if you're not a member of my community, I'm Kim Pramatic with Raising Conscious Kids. You can go to RaisingConsciousKids.com and register. You get the access to the goodie bag, giveaways from guests. We have coupons, free stuff, resources, and we're all about raising happy, healthy, conscious kids in this sometimes crazy, seemingly mixed up world. So I appreciate you and your co-creation in this. Appreciate Dr. Vivian and Lawrence, her traveling manager, and Jeannie for asking me to fill in today. And just wishing everybody a great week, and we'll see you here next time for 100 in Chamber Radio. Bye for now.
The news is sponsored by the 100 in Medical Center. 100 in Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call 100 in Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.100inhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Kelly Sloan.
We must elect this strong leader for one more reason,
because Hillary Clinton must never become President of the United States of America.
Mike Pence, Indiana's governor, introducing Donald Trump at a rally yesterday. He is believed to be on the VP shortlist, along with former House Speaker Newt Gingrich and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. An announcement is expected by week's end, just as the Republican National Convention is set to start on Monday. The funerals for three of the five police officers killed in last week's ambush in Dallas are taking place today. At an interfaith memorial service yesterday, President Obama spoke about Black Lives Matter. Hillary Clinton is calling for a period of healing as racial tensions rise. She spoke at a rally in Springfield, Illinois today and says there is too much violence. This is USA Radio News.
The activewear trend in fashion is booming. Fitness gear is not just for working out anymore. Just ask actress Malin Ackerman. The busy actress, mom, and fitness fanatic teamed up with LG to showcase its new Sidekick pedestal washer, the first laundry system that has a cycle specifically designed for activewear. They say it's for small loads that are a big deal.
It is a dual washer, but the bottom Sidekick is what is incredible about this thing. I have a 3-year-old son. And so, I don't know if you know about toddlers, but they spill everything on themselves. You change their outfits about 5 times a day. So, it's great to be able to just throw in a quick load, and you don't have to wait for a full load. They have 6 different cycles, and for people who are active like myself, your activewear, you have your favorite pieces that you like to throw in there. You do the activewear wash cycle, and it's done.
Ackerman's also starring in an LG fitness and fashion